Tell us how you moved up the rank as you were an accountant. Then what happened to you?
Mr. Carlson, who was the manager of the business at that time, became ill. He became incapable of running the business, and there was no backup. I certainly could not run the business. I was too young, too immature, did not have the background.
Still in your 20s.
Still in my 20s. But I was probably the only person in the office that Mr. Chapman knew well enough to have confidence in. So I was trying to coordinate the business with Mr. Chapman, and I kind of got thrown into this. He had confidence in me, maybe too much confidence. But I did help him a great deal in some areas, some things he didn't know about that I was able to tell him about that meant a lot to him. I won his confidence. And then you have to keep that confidence.
I wonder what this says about him. He could have gone out and hired the most high-powered accountant in the world.
Yes.
But he chose to stick with you.
Mr. Chapman, H.A. Chapman, was somewhat insecure, and he didn't like new faces. He wanted people around him that he knew and he trusted and he had confidence in. For some reason, I got on that side of him. He relied on me for a lot of personal things that had nothing to do with our business.
Meaning you do personal errands or trips or whatever?
Oh, errands and trips. He would ask me to come down and spend a week with him on his yacht.
Which was in California?
He based it in the summer in Florida, and then in the winter down in the Caribbean in the Bahamas. He'd just call me and want me to come down.
Just to hang out?
Hang out, talk about business. He'd always give some excuse, but really it was hanging out. We became very good friends.
Friends. Did he have friends?
He had some, but not many, and I think that was because he was nervous about people. If you have great wealth, like the Chapman family did, when you meet someone, there's always that inference that they want something. He told me one time, he says, "Don, you can go on a business trip to Denver, stay at the Brown Palace, and before dinner, go down to the Oak Room Bar, sit down at the bar and have a drink, and some guy will come up and sit down next to you, and you can start talking to him, and you may have something in common in our business." He said, "I can't do that." He said, "It's been ingrained into me that you have to be careful who you talk to, because most people will know who you are. They want something. There's kidnappings. There's all kinds of problems." And that's not a problem I had, because I had no wealth. I'm just being friendly. That was easy for me.
How much influence did his father, James, have on H.A.?
Well, I think the training that he got from his father was immense. But we had no business dealings of the time that I worked for him with the father. We drilled no wells jointly. We had holdings that were the same. Equity holdings. But nothing that we had to discuss.
What was their relationship?
It wasn't a normal father-son relationship. It wasn't cold.
It was distant?
Somewhat distant, yeah. They didn't have dinner on a regular basis and didn't drop over to see each other. I took H.A. Chapman to my father and mother's house on many occasions. I always thought that he liked the relationship that I had with my father and mother, because it was a cordial. I had a little ranch over near Tahlequah, and my mother and father eventually moved out on this ranch and just loved it. Mr. Chapman loved to go over with me, and particularly if we had some new calves or a new foal. And my mother would always have cookies or brownies and a hot pot of coffee, and we'd go in, sit at the kitchen table, and partake. I could see that he really enjoyed that. Nobody wanted anything. "Now, put on your boots and jacket, and let's go see the new foal." And he really liked that.
There was a warmth and a coziness there that felt good to him.
Yes.
Did he live in a huge mansion here in Tulsa?
No. He lived two places during his life while I worked for him. He lived just off of 31st and Utica on 32nd Street. I think it was 1631 East 32nd Street. Very nice house, but it was small, two-bedroom, beautiful pool area, guest home out back. But you drive by the house, it wasn't opulent at all. Nothing like you would think someone with his wealth would have. And then he bought a house in Boldwood from Julius Bancroft, and redid that house and lived there until his demise.
Boldwood.
I was on 46th Street, just off of Lewis.